From Genesis to the Diamond Sutra, A Western Buddhist's Encounters with Christianity, by Sangharakshita. Windhorse Publications, 2005, UK. Contents. Preface. Chapter 1, Early Memories. Chapter 2, The Bible as Literature. Chapter 3, The Church. Chapter 4, The Apostles' Creed. Chapter 5, Christian Mythology. Chapter 6, Christian Ethics. Chapter 7, Saints and Mystics. Chapter 8, Jesus. Chapter 9, Balaam and Josaphat. Chapter 10, Buddhism and Christianity. About the author. Sangharakshita was born Dennis Lingwood in South London in 1925. Largely self-educated, he developed an interest in the cultures and philosophies of the East early on and realized that he was a Buddhist at the age of 16. The Second World War took him as a conscript to India, where he stayed on to become the Buddhist monk Sangharakshita. After studying for some years under leading teachers from the major Buddhist traditions, he went on to teach and write extensively. He also played a key part in the revival of Buddhism in India, particularly through his work among the followers of Dr. B. R. Ambedkar. After 20 years in India, he returned to England to establish the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order in 1967 and the Western Buddhist Order in 1968. A translator between East and West, the traditional world and the modern, and between principle and practice. Sangharakshita's depth of experience and clear thinking have been appreciated throughout the world. He has always particularly emphasized the decisive significance of commitment in the spiritual life, the paramount value of spiritual friendship and community, the link between religion and art, and the need for a new society supportive of spiritual aspirations and ideals. Sangharakshita recently handed on most of his responsibilities to his senior disciples in the order. From his base in Birmingham, he is now focusing on personal contact with people and on his writing. Preface. It was my intention some years ago to write a full-length comparative study of Buddhism and Christianity, but old age, and therewith the partial loss of my eyesight, have crept up on me and prevented me from carrying out this plan, which in any case was an ambitious one. I was unwilling, however, to give up the idea altogether, and it occurred to me that if I was unable to produce a full-length comparative study of the two religions, I could at least write an account of my personal contact over the years with Christianity and Christians. Thus, the present work is largely autobiographical, though I have not hesitated to deviate from time to time from the autobiographical framework in order to explore an aspect of Christianity which is of special interest to me. I have written it for my own satisfaction. I wanted to take stock, as it were, of my attitude to Christianity, as it had impinged on my life and thought in the course of the last 80 years. At the same time, I wanted to share my experience and my reflections on my experience with those Western Buddhists who, like me, grew up within a Christian culture, as well as with students of comparative religion, and with Christians who might be interested to know how one modern Buddhist, at least, in retrospect, views their religion. After relating my early memories of Christianity and Christians in Chapter 1, I turn my attention in Chapter 2 to the Bible, especially to the poetical books of the Old Testament, which I enjoyed as a boy and which I still enjoy. The fact that I am a Buddhist does not in the least detract from my enjoyment of them, for I read the Bible as literature, not as the word of God. In Chapter 3, beginning with the gunpowder plot, the anniversary of which I celebrated as a small boy, and ending with the persecution of the Vietnamese Buddhists by the ruling Catholic oligarchy, I trace the way in which power has corrupted the Roman Catholic Church. I also relate my contact with Catholic priests, one of whom became a good friend. In chapter 4, I take a look at the Apostles' Creed, for it is this ancient formula which constitutes the basis of mainstream Christianity, whether Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, or Orthodox in its form. I wanted to make clear to myself, and hopefully to others, the fundamental difference between Buddhism and Christianity. Even in the Creed, there are elements I can accept, provided they are understood as myths and symbols, not as literal truth. The Orthodox Christian believer regards the doctrine of the virgin birth as being a statement of historical fact. The Buddhist scriptures certainly contain myths and legends, but they form no part of Buddhist doctrine, and the individual Buddhist is free to accept or reject them as he or she pleases. Chapter 5 is devoted to what I call Christian mythology, which is, for me at least in the form it has assumed in the Western Church, the product of the Catholic collective imagination. In this chapter, as in several others, I give expression to my appreciation of and delight in some of the masterpieces of Christian art. I also critique, in connection with the figure of Satan, the twin notions of absolute evil and irremediable reprobation. In chapter 6, which deals with Christian ethics, I describe two incidents in my early childhood which were responsible for the awakening in me of a distinctly moral consciousness. This leads me to a consideration of violence, especially the violence that Christianity has regularly directed against heretics and homosexuals. I express myself strongly in this connection. It certainly was not my intention to offend any Christian, but there are elements in Christianity which I cannot but regard with horror, not just as a Buddhist, but as a moral being. In the context of this chapter, homosexuality means male homosexuality, the Church for some reason being much less fierce against lesbianism, despite Leviticus and St. Paul. The saints and mystics who are the subject of chapter 7 were all remarkable personalities, and their lives are of great human interest. In their different ways, they all made a strong impression on me, and it is for this reason that I have written about them. After these saints and mystics comes Jesus, who figures in chapter 8. In this chapter, I tell how I oscillated over the decades between believing and not believing in his historical existence. These doubts did not prevent me from being deeply moved by paintings of his life, some of which I describe. I also discuss the Christology of Marcion, a so-called heretical teacher of the second century, and comment on a novelistic reconstruction of the gospel story by a great Irish writer, a reconstruction I found both plausible and appealing. Chapter 9 is devoted to the legend of Balaam and Jehoshaphat, which may be regarded as a sort of bridge between Buddhism and Christianity. In this chapter, I trace the steps by which a traditional Indian biography of the Buddha was gradually transformed into the story of two Christian saints, one of whom, Saint Jehoshaphat, is quite recognisably the Buddha. In the last chapter, I ask myself what I have learned by immersing myself in Christianity for the 9 months it took me to produce this book. I would like to thank Jnana Siddhi for her helpful editorial suggestions, and Shantavir for his meticulous copy editing, for which I have often had cause to be grateful. Above all, I would like to thank my friend Nitya Bandhu, to whom I dedicate the whole book, and without whose cooperation it would not have seen the light. Sangharakshita, Birmingham, 26th of April, 2005.